For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Open in prayer this morning. We come around the Word of God, looking specifically at what contributes to strong faith. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you, this sermon to you, and I ask, Lord, that the word go forth sharper than any two-edged sword, that, Lord, your word would pierce through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and bring revelation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Looking at attitudes for strong faith, part three. The last two parts. The first part we went through having a willing and cheerful heart, willingness to do what God wants, cheerfulness as a giver. And the second part was we talked about having a believing heart, believing what is written and acting upon it as truth, not allowing doubt or unbelief to get in, because having a heart of unbelief is evil according to the Lord. Today we're looking at having a humble heart, the attitude of humility. And there is a fourth part which I believe the Lord wants me to do, which is having an attitude of gratitude or thankfulness, which I'll do next time. So we're looking today at having a humble heart, being humble before the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean? Now, if you think of humility, you know that that is the opposite of pride. Think what pride is about. Pride is about myself, me, I. It's all about the person. Okay? So humility is the opposite. What's it doing? What's humility? What's an attitude of humility doing? It's exalting the Lord. It's saying, Lord, what is your will? What do you want me to do? And putting the Lord first. If you have a look at Proverbs 22, verses 4 and 5, you see some specific keys here. Proverbs 22, 4 and 5. Because what we are looking at are attitudes for strong faith. When we look at the church globally now, we see that the people of God are in a very weak state in faith. And even though there might be some areas or pockets where there is strength of faith, there is still a vast majority who are in a very weak state. And there's reasons for that. It doesn't come about for no reason whatsoever. It comes about because of neglect. And one of those things that is neglected is what underpins having strong faith, or indeed walking by faith. So looking at Proverbs 22, we'll look at verses 4 and 5 first of all in Proverbs 22, and we see here the revelation. Proverbs 22 verses 4 and 5, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honour and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. There is a link between these two scriptures. Let's first of all look at verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord, that's linking both together here, are riches and honour and life. That talks about prosperity. So that riches isn't just spiritual riches, okay? So the Lord made Abraham rich. We are blessed with that faithful Abraham. And God says, I wish above all things that I may prosper and be in health. So God wants us to prosper. He wants his people rich. In fact, we've talked about this. Not for their own things, but there is a particular purpose for what God is talking about. And God links it with humility and the fear of the Lord. There is no, if you want godly prosperity, kingdom economics to be operating in your life, you have to link it with humility and the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord, what do we know about the fear of the Lord? If you just keep your finger in Proverbs 22 and go back to Proverbs 8, verse 13, we see a definition of the fear of the Lord here. So keep your finger with Proverbs 22, we'll come back to that. And just have a look at Proverbs 8, verse 13. A wonderful definition here. It's good to keep this definition at hand so that you understand what the fear of the Lord is. Fear of the Lord, it says here, fear of the Lord is to hate evil. This is a good hatred, the hatred of evil. And what's at the top of the list after that colon? Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride. Top of the list. Pride. What's God saying? Pride is evil. Pride is evil. Okay, so eliminate pride from your life, from your vocabulary, from your ways. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy. Thinking you're better than everyone else. Your way is better. Now God's way is the best. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the flower that's a rebellious mouth do I hate. You've got to have that same attitude. If you want the fear of the Lord in your life, you've got to have that same attitude to hate pride, to hate arrogancy, to hate the evil way, to hate the froward mouth. Okay, you've got to have that same attitude. Now go back to Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are, so it's by these things, are these other things, riches and honour and life. Riches and honour and life. That's how you get it. Okay, they're the rewards of the Lord. But you have to have humility and the fear of the Lord. Humility eliminates pride. It gets rid of pride. Humility puts God first in all things. Humility is connected to the fear of the Lord. And there is that connection to the prosperity. You see, verse 5 gives us another indication, because we talked about that froward mouth in Proverbs 8, we saw that froward mouth, that rebellious, that mouth, I will say what I want to say, and I'll say it right to you, and I'll say it, and I'll keep on saying it. And well, you know, the fact is that the Lord wants you to speak what He wants you to speak. He wants you to speak the right words, the right things. Okay, and there are snares. The Bible says you're snared by the words of your mouth. Here we see the thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. So here, a person that's rebellious and self-righteous and says all the wrong things and does all the wrong things and so on, there's rewards attached to that. And that are thorns and snares. And people are wondering, you know, I was just saying to someone just the other day, people have all types of the curse in their life, but they don't link it with going the way of sin and not doing the right things. They link it to all types of other justifications rather than the biblical justifications, the biblical reasons. But see, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. The froward type person is a person who doesn't have humility, doesn't have the fear of the Lord in them. Okay? So you get that thorns and snares. Well, that's the opposite of prosperity, isn't it? He that doth keep his soul, so it's resident in your soul, your mind, will and emotions, if you keep your soul, if you keep it diligently, make sure that those type of things don't get in, that type of rebellious attitude, that list that we saw with the fear of the Lord, you know, pride and arrogancy and so on. Don't let that get into your soul. Notice what it says. This is a spiritual law. He that doth keep his soul, you're guarding your soul, shall be far from them. Shall be far from what? Far from the thorns and snares. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Far from those thorns and snares. You know, it's by humility and fear of the Lord that you get the good things, the riches and honour and life, the things that the Lord wants in your life. You're going to have that humility and fear of the Lord, which is a heart issue. Okay, you deal with it in your heart. And it's an individual thing. Individual thing. So I might see these problems, but you know, it's got to be the individual that says, "Look, Lord, before you, I have done this, and I need to repent of this, and I see that this is not right. I need to repent and get this right." And that's humility. That's coming before the Lord with an honest heart and understanding that God's way is so very, very important. So very important. Also look at Proverbs 11 verse 2. Just go back to Proverbs 11 verse 2. You know, pride has a lot of destruction involved with it. There's a lot of the curse weaved into it. That's why we've got to get rid of it. And verse 2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Now, when it talks about lowly, it's not talking about that you're under the circumstances. Lowly is talking about you don't put yourself up. The Lord will lift you up. That's what the scripture says. Lowly is you don't put yourself up, but you don't put yourself down and say, "Oh, I'm nothing." Because in Christ, you're something, okay? You're a new creature in Christ. You don't say, "Oh, I'm a worthless worm or a sinner." No, in Christ, you're not that. In Christ, you're everything that the Lord has said you are. And that's true humility. Because what are you doing? You're acknowledging what the Lord is saying you are. You're acknowledging this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He's given me peace. He's given me victory. He's given me triumph. He's the one that has provided everything so that I might have those riches, honour and life. See, that's true humility. That's truly the fear of the Lord. So you're not putting yourself down as a believer in Christ. No, you're acknowledging what the Lord has done. And that's having a lowly spirit within you. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom. To come to the Word of God and say, "Well, the Word is right. I might not be right at times, but if I get myself in line with the Word, I'll be right. I'll be part of that uprightness." And so we have to see that this is what God is talking about here. That if you're humble before Him, you don't lift yourself up. God lifts you up. God in due season will cause you to reap. God in due season will cause you to be led into a wealthy place. God is the one that is your strength. And the Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So it would be a lie to say that you're not strong. It would be a lie to say that you're not mighty. Because you've got to acknowledge what is in you by what the Lord Jesus Christ has put in you. If you look at 1 John 2 verses 5 and 6, we see a very important part of scripture here in terms of how we are to walk whilst we're on the earth. You know, we're not to be people that say, "Well, I'm nothing." That's not humility, to say that you're nothing. If Christ has made you something, what are you? You're something. You see? If Christ has made you a king and a priest, what are you? Well, you reign in life. And you should be saying out of your mouth, "I reign in life as a king. I reign in life." See, that's because you know that Christ has given you something. He has put into you. He's invested into you. In fact, Jesus made the greatest sacrifice of Himself to purchase for us by His blood the salvation that we should then partake of by acknowledging what He has done. Praise the Lord. This is a very, very important thing to understand. 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. So 1 John 2, looking at verses 5 and 6. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So if you keep God's word, there's a link there that the love of God will be perfected in you. And what do we know about faith and the connection there? Faith worketh by love. Okay, the scripture says faith which worketh by love. So we know that if the love of God is perfected in you, what's also being perfected? Your faith, isn't it? Your faith is getting stronger. How is there that connection? Well, if you're keeping his word, you're keeping his word, you're putting his word before you, you're giving attention to it, you're hearing it, you're seeing it, you're hearing it and believing it, you're seeing it and understanding it. You're taking it and putting it into activation in your life. It's not just a book on the shelf, but it's a book you believe. It's a book you take as truth. Notice what it says here. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. This is very important. It's saying we should be walking just like Jesus walked. Jesus did not see himself as a lowly nothing. He saw himself the way the Father showed him and said things to him. He was led of the Spirit. So should we say we are led of the Spirit? He said that he always did what he saw the Father do. We should say the same thing. He always pleased the Father. We should say, yes, I always pleased the Father. You might say, well, why? I did that yesterday, I did that thing that was wrong. Well, did you repent of it? If you repented of it, it's under the blood. Now you say, I'm pleasing the Father, I'm pleasing God, I'm walking by faith. Praise God. So we should be walking even as Jesus walked. That means we should be conforming to the image of Christ. We should be more Christ-like. Okay? So some people say that, you know, that they're doing what Jesus would do, but they divorce themselves from understanding the Scripture. Do you know, Jesus said to people, you do err not knowing the Scripture. That's how you get into error, by not knowing the Scripture. So if you want to not be in error, you've got to know the Scripture, get into it. And that's exactly what it says in verse 5, whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Why? Because you're keeping his word, and the love of God's perfected in you. You're walking by faith. And as it says in verse 6, you say you abide in Christ, you say you're a Christian, well then you should walk even as Christ walked. Okay, what did he do? Forgiveness. What did he do? Preach the word. He preached about repentance. He preached about the kingdom of God. Okay, this is important. He showed about the consequences of rebellion and sin. He showed that type of thing. So, looking at John 8 verse 29, notice what Jesus said in John 8 verse 29. And remember, we're to match ourselves with him. We're to walk as he did. This is what true humility is. This is what having a humble heart is. To acknowledge what God has made you through Christ and to walk as he walked. Have a look at John 8:29. John 8:29. This is what Jesus said. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. Well, you know you shouldn't say you don't do the things. You shouldn't be saying the opposite to this. You should also be saying, I do always those things that please him. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So are you commanded to walk by faith? Yes. Are you commanded to live by faith? Yes. Are you commanded to stand by faith? Yes. This is what we must say. we should say. I do always those things that please him. Whether you feel like it or not, it's a good confession. What's another good confession? I am led by the Spirit of God. Do you feel led? Well, it's not on the basis of feelings, is it? It's on the basis of we must walk even as he walked. We must have the Word of God and abide in the Word. The Word of God must abide in us. And if we're saying that we abide in him, then we've got to walk as even as he walked. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. And so we must also be pleasing the Father in our walk. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 8, 28 and 29. True conformity, that is good conformity, is to conform to Christ. To be just like he is, to walk even as he walked when he was on the earth, to be in the Word as he was in the Word, to not be in error because he was in the Scripture. Okay, so we must be people that continually see what is the true conformity. Well, of course, we know what the bad conformity is. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So we know that there is that bad conformity, but on the other side, there's the good conformity, being just like the Master, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is a confession I put in my mouth every day, and let me encourage you to do it yourself. Say, all things work together for my good. I love God and I am the called according to his purpose. Let's say that together. All things work together for my good. Work together for my good. I love God. And I am the called according to his purpose. And put that into your mouth every day. Say, thank you, Lord. All things are working together for my good. Not for the heathen's good. The heathen are under the curse. We're under the blessing. All things work together for your good. But you love God. You love God. Say, I love God. I love God. And I'm the called according to his purpose. Well, you need to know what his purpose is. But this is a good thing to say. And God will reveal. Notice what it says in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. Did he foreknow you? Did he know you beforehand? Yes, he did, didn't he? He also did predestinate. That means that he's put a plan into operation for you and me. You're not just some mistake. You're not a mistake. You're something that's... God has a plan for you. A specific plan. You've got a purpose. Never say you haven't got any purpose on the earth. You do. He also did predestinate to be conformed... This is the good conformity. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. So, we must be conformed to the image of Christ. We must be just like him. We must walk even as he walked. You might not feel like that, but you don't allow yourself to be guided by feelings, but by the Word. That's very important. The feelings can come later. You know, joy starts on the inside. Joy and peace, it all starts on the inside. So, proper conformity, having that humble attitude before the Lord, the humble heart is saying, the Lord and his way, that is right. That is the way I should go. I do always please those things that please the Father. I'm living by faith, I'm walking by faith, I'm standing by faith, I'm going forward by faith. Praise the Lord for that. And I want to finish with 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. Because humility, as I said before, is not about putting yourself down. It's about putting yourself in the hands of God. And God has made you into a new creature in Christ. That's a great investment. The blood of Christ is called precious. You need to see that the blood of Christ is precious. Christ himself is called precious as well. The blood of Christ is precious. You are precious because you've been bought with the price. And understand that you have a purpose. You have a purpose. You are called of God to do things on the earth. And, you know, I've said it many times that the scripture tells us that life is a shadow, a vapor. It is very, very quickly over. So this time that we're on earth is a time of testing. Are you willing, even in the midst of a sinful environment, are you willing to live for God? Are you willing to live for God? Even though it might be hard, the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, 5 to 7 says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. Clothed with it. Clothed with humility. It's an important thing to God. For God resisteth the proud. If you're clothed with humility, pride is not a part of you. You get it out. It's part clothing of humility. It's covering you. It's part of you. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace, it's his divine enabling, to the humble. So God's giving to the humble. He's giving into your life. But he's resisting the proud. You don't want to be in that category. Because pride is part of that list that we should be hating. We should have the fear of the Lord, which is linked with humility. Notice what it says in the next verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, it's wrong to think that God doesn't want to exalt you. He does. It's wrong to think that God doesn't want to put his people in key places. In key places right across nations on this earth. He does. He wants to put his church in key places. His people. But it has to be through his way. All right? There's all too much of people exalting themselves. And that's not going to work. What does work is you get the pride out. You have the fear of the Lord in you. You walk by faith. You acknowledge the good things of what Christ has done for you and in you. And you say, God is the one that gives grace to me. And humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then it says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you know God cares for you? He cares for you. Cast all your care about the future onto him. Cast all your worries and fears onto him. Say, Lord, you care for me. You know, it might look bad, but you say, I cast it all upon you. Cast is a very specific word. It means forcibly throw onto. Say, cast it away. I don't take that care back. And he's talking about the wrong type of care here, which is that worrisome, fearful type of care. And no, the Lord has done all of this for me. I'm not going to allow that type of thinking to be part of me. And cast it away and think on good things. Praise the Lord. So today we have covered having a humble heart. There's much more we could speak about. There's a lot of sermons on the Victory Faith Centre website around this very topic of pride and humility. But I pray that today you are understanding this is building your understanding about attitudes for strong faith. The next one we'll be looking at is having an attitude of gratitude or thankfulness. Very, very important. Very important. And sadly, quite deficient in many people's lives. So let's close in prayer and thank the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your provision through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that wonderful salvation that covers spirit, soul and body. And we praise you for that, Lord. We acknowledge what we are in Christ. We are reigning. We are ruling. We are people of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has made us strong, has given us good things. We humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we acknowledge those things that we are in Christ, and we praise you for that, Lord. I pray that every person here be blessed abundantly, and any who hear this message, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that there be a great insight and revelation of your Spirit in people's lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we commit this to you. Glory to God.